Hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on February 24th, 2021. It's nice to have you here today. Okay, I appreciate it. We got a nice show with our good friends over at the National Association for Elementary School Principals. I'm missing one person, I think, but we're supposed to have three principals here. Kim Barbosa-Lewis, who's the president of NAESB. Ryan Daniel, who's a principal at the Chillum Elementary School in Maryland, okay, and she's a fellow at the NAESP Center for Diversity Leadership, as is Edgardo Castro from Gallup, New Mexico, who's principal of Lincoln Elementary School, and we'll see. Somebody's missing and somebody's here. Excuse me, so we'll see what's going on. I got a bad sinus infection today, so bear with me today. All right, as we do the show, it's making me crazy here. All right, we're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, our consortium for equity in education. Please go over, enjoy our magazine over there. It's excellent, by the way, our online journal called Equity in Access. And you'll see that we have all our podcasts over there as well, plus a ton of other information all about equity. So please check it out. I'm going to put my mic on in 1 second while I clear my throat. I'm going to put it on mute. Hold on. Oh, I'm sorry. Welcome to the world of a sinus infection. All right. I'll let my guests do the talking today. All right. Let's find out. Let's see. We're circling. There we go. First of all, is Kim there? Kim Brill. Yes, no?
Hi, Larry. I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Yeah. Hi. Can I call you Kim? Is that all right, or what do you like?
I go by Kim Brill.
Kim, say it again.
Kim Brill.
Kim Brill. Okay, I like that. Hello, Kim Brill. It's a pleasure to have you here. An honor,
hey.
Madam President. An honor.
It is. I'm so thankful to be here with you. You actually had me on the show a couple of months ago with Dr. Frank, so I'm delighted to be back.
I remember. Okay, thank you. It's great to have you back. Okay, and how's life in Cordova, Tennessee?
Life is good. Schools are going to open back up. Elementary schools are going to open back up next week.
Oh,
and
good.
We are thawing out from,
right? That's great. Are you all excited about that?
We are.
Can you hear me? Yeah, good.
We are very excited. Students are returning, and students, parents still have an option of keeping students virtual, but principals are excited to welcome students back into the building.
Well, that's hard to handle. We'll talk about that in a second. I think Ryan is here. Ryan, are you here?
I am. How are you, Larry? Hi, Kimbrell.
Hey, Ryan.
Ryan, I have a funny story to tell you. Today, I figured I had a Latino gentleman in Edgardo who is not here. I hope he does call in. Okay. An African-American woman in Kimbrell. And then I figured I'd have a nice Irish guy in Ryan Daniel. He turned out to be an African. You're not an Irish guy. Right.
Yeah,
it made me laugh. I'd like to look up photos before I do the show so I can see what people look like and that sort of stuff. And I did get a big smile on my face. Okay. You're the principal. And a lovely lady you are. At Ryan Dan, she's the principal of Chillum Elementary School in Chillum, Maryland, okay, and also a fellow, and we're going to talk about that word in a second, at the NAESP Center for Diversity Leadership, which is just great, which, by the way, Kimbrell is the president, okay, so we go from there, all right, of NAESP, all right. I'm going to start right there, okay. Do you like that word fellow, Ryan? It should be said. Too masculine for these days. What do you think?
I agree. I've been toying with the fellow part of it, but and I have enjoyed the opportunity to be able to network with other fellows, other leaders across the world. So that has definitely been exciting.
Kimbrell, we have to talk about this word fellow. What do you think?
Well, when I think about it, I think about the significance of the importance that she brings as a scholar, and that's what I associate
absolutely.
With fellow. So her expertise in education and in diversity, that's the way I want to look at it. You know, I think we can come up with something to reflect Dr. Ryan, But I do like that it lets everyone know that, hey, here's someone who knows what she's talking about.
She knows what she's talking about, all right. I can guarantee you that. Okay. And I think we ought to get something less masculine in there, though. And not just in this case. I think right across the board. Okay. And I think it reflects an old-time feeling, the word fellow. Okay. That guys are supposed to be doing this and leading the charge. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we're going to come up with something. And we'll work on that, all of us together. And have you heard from Edgardo? Is he coming? He's the principal of Lincoln Elementary in Gallup, New Mexico. Did he forget? Is he okay? Do you know?
I think he may be tied up at school. I tried to reach out, but I think he may be tied up. But I think if we can, we'll probably be able to hold it down for him.
I think you'll be okay. And if he's tied up, that seems to be a discipline problem at Lincoln Elementary. You've got to get untied. That's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of Home Alone type stuff. You know, it's really cute.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Ryan, tell us about Chilham Elementary School, Chilham, Maryland.
So I am, again, proud principal of Chilham Elementary School. We're located in Prince George County, Maryland. And I'm considered a smaller school than some of my colleagues. We're about under 400 students, roughly about 360. And we're a community-based school, very close-knit within the community. We're actually built inside of an apartment complex. So when I say that we are all things community, yeah, you have to literally drive into the apartment complex to get to Chilham. So definitely have a lot of ties to the community. And we also are a Title I school. And I am also a single administrator. So, I don't have an assistant principal, but I'm very, very fortunate to have strong teacher leaders that support this work.
I bet you do. Is the building a standalone building, or is it literally built into the complex?
No, we're standalone, but we are in the middle of apartment complex.
How interesting. That is really interesting. When they designed that, why did they design that way? Is it a big housing project or something, or what is it? You have to explain this. This is cool.
Yes, it is a very large apartment complex, and so we are a primarily walking school. And because there are so many different apartment complexes within our area, we kind of share students with the other elementary schools that are not too far away. So it's just so that our students wouldn't have to cross the busy street that we are close to. So that was one of the reasons.
Right. That is real. That's well thought out. It creates all kinds of problems, because if you would need to track down a kid at home, it's too easy to get to them. Kids, watch out for Principal Daniel, okay? That's all I have to say on that subject, okay? and Kimberl, tell us about Cordova, your school.
Yes, so Cordova Elementary is in Cordova, Tennessee, which is near Memphis. So we are a school district in Shelby County Schools. Cordova has about 750 students, and that doesn't include our pre-K. So, our pre-K is a little bit more. It's very different from Dr. Daniel's school in that we actually cover several miles of student area. We are a Title I school as well, and so many of our students have very specialized needs and support. We do get to know our families, but the area is an area where people move in and move out. So there are some families that have been here a long time. But then there are some. We get a lot of new students every year.
Well, that's hard on everybody. Okay, that's very hard on everybody. And I must ask, what is the ethnic makeup of the school? I'm curious because we're in Black History Month. We're going to talk about diversity and all that sort of stuff. What's the ethnic makeup of the school, Cordova?
Yeah, so the majority of our students are students of color. We are about 75% African American. We also have a large Latino and Latina population. And I would say less than probably 5% of our students are now our students of European background. So we are mostly an African-American
and Hispanic school.
And Ryan, what about your school? Chillum.
So very, very similar to Kimbrough. We have I am about 60% Hispanic population, and then the remaining is African American. So at Chillum, we primarily serve students of color as well, and which really also kind of mirrors the makeup of our school district as a whole within the state of Maryland.
And I must ask you this, and you might know this, okay? You're an African-American woman, okay? You're a wonderful principal, okay, fellow of our Center for Diversity Leadership. As you look at other schools within the district, are there a lot of diversity amongst the leadership of the schools?
So, you know, within Prince George County Public Schools, we have a high number of African-American leaders. Which really mirrors the demographics of our county as a whole. Prince George County is one of the highest populations of African Americans, and that also makes up our school districts of students. So, you know, we are very fortunate that a lot of our students have people or principals in leadership that look like them.
It's important. It's so important. What about down in Cordova, Tennessee, Shelby County, as you talk to your colleagues, okay, how's it break out racially, ethnically, et cetera, Kimbrough, for leadership?
Very similar to Ryan's. In Shelby County, we are a primarily African-American community. And so the leadership in our school district reflects that. Our superintendent is African American. Many school leaders are African American. We're unique in our state. We're the largest district in the state, one of the largest in the country.
Yep.
However,
yep,
most school districts in our state differ quite a bit from our demographics.
Wow. It's amazing what's going on in there. And what you both said makes me very happy in terms of the people of color who are leading the school district, I think it's who are the leaders within schools, et cetera. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty here. Okay, we're a year out now, but George Floyd was murdered. It came to the forefront as well. It should. Okay, African-American kids of color, okay, they had to watch this garbage on TV. There's another horror of that on TV. It was just terrible. Okay, and then you have the pandemic, all right? And you've got to teach these kids. Okay, and you're both dealing with Title I schools, as there's so many principals. These are young kids, okay, your elementary school principals. Ryan, talk about this.
So when all of the recent events started or began to happen in our nation, it was really important for me as a leader to bring our community together and to remind our students that they are loved, they are appreciated, their voices are valued, we see them, we hear them, and it's okay to feel anything that they feel at that moment. We did not shy away from the conversations. We have morning announcements live. We are still in a distance learning format right now, and so we found ways to still bring our students together and kind of talk about what's going on. I also supported my classroom teachers by pulling and giving them resources to use and to help, you know, kind of curate that conversation with their students in class. But, you know, this has been a time where, you know, attitude reflects leadership, right? And so we as leaders really have been setting the tone of, you know, how our students are, you know, just kind of processing everything that's happening around them. And I think it has been important for us to, you know, to talk about it and not act as if it's, you know, because it's happening somewhere else, it doesn't impact and affect us.
Right. And overall, just anecdotally, as you look at this past year, what are your feelings about it as a principal, an elementary school principal, and now on the Center for Diversity Leadership at NAESP? Now, you look back on this year, what comes to mind?
You know, I think I am more proud of my school community and the staff and our students than I have been in my 4 years of being here, because I've never seen us come together as much as we've have in the past year.
Wow.
And
congratulations.
I think, you know, with so much distance, you know, literally and figuratively, that we've had, it really feels great to know that our students and our parents and our staff, they still feel some sort of connection, and that, you know, we know that what lies ahead of us is difficult and it, you know, is not getting any easier. But because we're staying together, you know, we're figuring this out together, I think that has made made us able to handle it just a little bit better.
Well said. What about you, Kimbrell? What's going on down there? Just your anecdotal thoughts on the past year, racially. Okay, what you had to deal with that, and then plop the pandemic on top of it.
So my school and district as well was, of course, virtual, and we're still in distance learning for right now. And so we had already begun to shift, you know, addressing our students' needs because there is great fear and amongst the tragedy and the violence that we saw. And so our students were grieved and also not really understanding what they were seeing, except for those who experience a lot of trauma in their daily lives. So as a school leader, you know, it's very important to me and to my teachers that we reach out to our parents and our community and understand what our students have questions about, the lack of understanding that we all have around why systematically this continues, because it's built into many systems that we work within every day. You know, those who we should be able to trust with our lives, sometimes we cannot. And so Like Dr. Lynn shared, you know, we have to connect differently, but most importantly, we wanted them to know that they were safe and that we were going to be there for them no matter what, and that we, you know, we had to begin to think about not just how to formally educate them in the curriculum and how what instruction looks like, but how do we push into instruction meeting their social-emotional needs. That became a top priority.
Yeah, it does. And beyond the George Floyd, Breonna Taylor stuff, all right, the terrible events of that, okay, you had the pandemic, which was bad enough just generically. But then you have the added problem of people of color suffering more, okay? I'm sure there was loss in your community, both of you, loss in your communities, okay? Kids' families torn asunder, so to speak. Okay, and it just must have been a rough year, and I congratulate you both for getting through it and being so proud of the people you work with. It's just really it's nice to hear that, and I just hope all this gets over with pretty damn soon, and everybody gets their shots, and we're going on from that. So let me ask you, Kimbrell, all right, you sent me a statistic, or Kaylin did from an AESP, that 80% of principals are white. All right, 80%. All right, do you agree with that statistic, Kimbrell?
I think it accurately reflects what's across the country, yes.
Okay, so NAESP has the National Task Force on Race and Equity. It's up to elementary school principals of any group, but today we're talking elementary, to lead their school through this dual crisis. Okay, and a lot of it does have to do with race, and you know how we feel about it, with equity. We have our American Consortium for Equity in Education. I invite you both to go over there and join up over at ace-ed.org. So you got NAESP. You've started a task force on race and equity, okay? And you've got to, you know, you two, if I may, you know, you're both African-American ladies, okay? But now you've got a whole bunch of people who have to lead their students through this. Okay, where do you begin? What are your goals? It's tough stuff. Okay, Kimbrell, what talk about it? What do you hope to do?
So I'd love to share, you know, what's behind the task force, the guiding priorities, and what we hope to do. So there are three leading priorities. We have talked to our principals, we surveyed them, and we found out what they feel they need, and that's the first thing. The first part of that is strengthening principals as leaders of equity, as you mentioned. So that's offering professional learning for them to put them in a position to be equity leaders and enhance their skills. So from their own personal reflection on race and bias, we've completed with our members implicit bias surveys to see where they are and where they want to move to next, so that there's a culturally responsive need in their schools, and so that they can meet that, and that they can listen. You know, they can listen to their communities, to their teachers, and to their students, and be able to facilitate, you know, real discussions around race and equity. Secondly, we want to be able to help them with school assessment and action planning. So giving them tools to do equity audits, do a school-wide equity screener. You know, what is our school really doing? How can we, are we really reflecting what we say we want to reflect? How am I doing as a school leader, and what does that look like in the classroom? You know, how does that impact my achievement, who I hire, discipline? You know, we know that disproportionately students of color receive more harsher discipline consequences.
Am I
part of it?
Yep.
You know, and, you know, does my curriculum reflect my students? Are they seeing themselves reflected in the text and instruction and the assignments they get? And, you know, training. We need more training, and so do our teachers to begin to address equity. And then lastly, make sure that our policies align with equity and advocacy when it comes to diversity. So looking at, you know, the insights from the surveys that principals gave us about their unconscious bias, that's important so that we know how to help them further. And when we look at our district policies and then the processes in our schools, we want to identify how to align that also with the federal agenda. How do we advocate for more equitable schools? So that's the guiding priority for the task force.
Right. So it's a lot to put on the plate. What are your feelings about it? How are we doing on it so far? Again, it has to be anecdotal, what are your feelings?
Realistically, I think that so far as an organization, we're really moving forward. We've, based on what principals and the organization told us they needed, our NESP members, we've already had our first implicit bias training, and we have our second one on the 5th. We are sharing
of March.
The
next Friday.
The, yes, of March, so next
yeah,
week.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
And So I think we're really on our way. We're also sharing the equity audit tools with our members, and we have some great partnerships. So I think we're really on the way to giving our members and principals across the country what they need to begin to address equity issues.
Excellent. Okay, so Ryan, let me throw this next one to you. You're a fellow of the NAESP Center for Diversity Leadership. All right, so obviously we want more, if I may, diversity in the school leadership. Okay, how do we go about doing that? That's the other part of this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one of the great things about the Center for Diversity Leadership, our focus is not only, you know, advocating for more diversity in our elementary schools and leadership and ensuring that our students have leaders that look like them, that they can see themselves in, but also supporting principals on how to lead schools that have so many different student demographics and populations. And that has really been our first task, our focus right now, equipping leaders with the tools that they need, building their capacity on, you know, just understanding like their biases and how, you know, they have to, or even their staff and how to support resistant staff members.
Yep.
We just recently had a Twitter chat. And, you know, it was great to to start the conversation that is often difficult to have, right? You know, conversations around race and culture and equity, those are not easy conversations, right? Because it forces you to check a bias that you may have or, you know, kind of reflect on your practice as a leader and, you know, asking yourself the question, well, do all of my student groups feel seen? You know, am I highlighting or advocating for one, you know, race group versus another? You know, do I recognize that there are cultural differences that I need to be aware of when I have certain events? And so we have really just been trying to, you know, create this safe place for leaders to have the conversation and be okay with saying, hey, I need some help in this area.
Yeah.
You know, can I get some support here?
Yeah, and nobody should be embarrassed about that as long as it's not confrontational, because everybody has inherent bias. Everybody, 100%. Okay, so it's not anything to worry about. We all have it, and the more you talk about it, the more it gets out of there, the more you can easily handle it. It's that simple. I have a question for you, and Ryan, I'm going to stick with you here, okay? We always talk about, you know, school leaders being representative of the group they're leading, okay, in the school, et cetera. It's good. They see a role model, all right? And I've always got a concern about this. We're having trouble just getting people to become teachers, all right? But we need more Latino, we need more African-American educators, kids to become educators, all right? And how we do it, just on that basis, once we need them to become educators first, and then we need them to get into leadership positions. Ryan, just your thoughts, and again, you're a principal. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, so, you know, one of the things that I try to do is, you know, be a part of our conversations with HR around, you know, the schools that we are going to attract candidates that are familiar with our population of students. And, you know, that has definitely been important. You know, one of the things that I try to do is just, you know, go to college graduations and, you know, go to events where I know that there will be students of color that are interested in teaching, or maybe they don't know that they're interested in teaching.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here I am to support them and to empower them, like, hey, you can do this, you know, show them that just because in my area, you know, I have a high Latino population, but you don't have to be of the Hispanic population to support our students, right? You do not have to speak Spanish in order to understand the community. And so I think it's really important for school districts and leaders to be a part of those human resource conversations, to take part in any opportunity to highlight the benefits of teaching in your school district, and to ensure that, you know, we're getting the right people into the classroom so that our classrooms do not become these revolving doors.
Wow. Well said. Kimbrella, what are your thoughts on all that? Getting more people of color, okay, into education and from there into leadership.
So I think it's important to as we work in schools and we lead schools, and even as teachers, that we, you know, take it upon ourselves to know that we are mentors, that we need to mentor, rising potential educators, those who think about going into education or who maybe have not considered it. It was not initially the field that I thought I would go into. And I had the opportunity to work directly with children and tutoring, and I changed fields. And the impact that can have, bringing the community into your school and connecting the community to your school, you can grow future teachers and leaders. That changed my trajectory. It changed what was important to me as far as priorities. And, you know, you have to have a heart for kids. And so if there are, and he would never do this, but my own son, who majors in something completely different,
you know, has his jobs that he has had as a teenager were directly in working with kids. And even though he doesn't want to go into education, he is going to, you know, continue to work in giving lessons to kids.
Good.
And you just never know when those connections will grow into, I know that I can make a difference. I can impact them even more as their teacher, as their principal.
Boy, you got that right. I'll tell you, it's just amazing. You know, what is the, I have to ask this, and principals who belong to NAESP obviously are every ethnic group you could think of, okay? As you bring people together, principals from across the country, to talk about this and move things forward in terms of race and equity and diversity leadership, what always comes out of these meetings? And we always say that word, those words, inherent bias, okay? And that's always kind of, but what else comes out in these meetings? Does everybody want to move things forward together?
I definitely, you know, I think it gives us pause to look at commonality and recognize differences so that we can, there's further understanding. You know, you want everyone to be in a position where, and I hate to say safe space because I think sometimes it gets overused, but where you feel comfortable in discussions. And what I think comes about is oftentimes, you know, pairing off. You know, I may get to talk with someone and connect with someone and become closer to those colleagues
mm-hmm.
that I would have never, ever gotten to talk to before. And that is impactful, whether they work in a school similar to mine or very different from mine. I can learn from them and how they, you know, address issues around this in
mm-hmm.
their schools. I think it pushes us to have more conversation.
Yeah.
It pushes us to learn from others, and I think that is always good.
Yeah, it reflects back to what you said when you first started to answer that question. It's feeling comfortable in conversation. That's the first step. Okay? And if you can get
right.
past that, you're on your way. Okay? And if everybody just
Absolutely.
Feels comfortable, take those commonalities, so to speak, and get it together. One last question. We got to go, but I must ask, I'm going to ask Ryan this one. Okay? Ryan, it's Black History Month. Okay, and obviously there's a big spotlight on it this year, okay, considering the year we had with social justice and all that, okay? When you hear Black History Month, how's that reflect inside your school?
So it reflects the community that we serve, right? And so for us, we ensure that all of our students, because, you know, Hispanic Heritage Month and Black History Month are really
yeah.
important months in our building, but we try to show our students that you know, you're more than a month of celebration, right?
You Thank
know,
you.
We're,
yeah.
we're not highlighting you just because the world says that this is the month that you should be recognized. You know, we try to ensure that our celebrations are throughout the year, like that we, you know, our students see themselves everywhere in murals around the building and
yep.
Any brochures that we have, any in the books that they read, in the conversations that we have. And, you know, we actually just had our school-wide program today, and it was just, it was so refreshing
yeah.
to see students, you know, really be excited that we are continuing the celebrations, that it's not something that they just learned about this month, but they were able to put their background knowledge of a story that they read in December, or, you know,
That's great.
A movie that they, or, you know, a clip that they watched in October, right? And then also to find connections between themselves and their classmates. And again, you know, highlighting the fact that here at Chillum, you know, we are a community, right, where every student matters and every moment that we have, it counts. And so it has just really been important for us to get them to understand that your celebration of your history, of your culture, it extends far more than just a month.
Bingo. Okay, and it's got to be incorporated in. I remember I used to teach history 1,000 years ago. My standing joke is it was easier 1,000 years ago. There was less history when I taught it. Okay, that's how long ago it was. Okay, but I remember we had very few black kids in the school district I was in, and they came to me because I was the cool history teacher, and they asked this back in the early 70s, and they asked me, okay, if I could teach a black history course, okay? Now, I'm talking about 5 kids, and I told them, I said, I would if I could, but I know nothing. I know nothing. We don't even have the materials to do this. And it's so good to see that things have changed. I hope they've changed so much since then. It had never been talked about. It was never nothing. Okay? And I knew history, but believe me, I was never taught that history. Okay? Or how to teach it. Okay? And so hopefully we're making changes on that, making these kids understand that you're right. It goes a lot deeper than having a month. Okay? It's just part of a whole culture, and you just have to you make it a part of it, and it just becomes part of the whole thing. It's really good. Ladies, you're doing good work, I got to tell you. NAESP, Madam President, does good work. You should be proud.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Larry. We're very excited to be here. Thank you for having us.
Just
giving us the opportunity and talking about diversity and equity and the work of NAESP and the work that we get to do as principals.
Well, you guys are always welcome to contribute whatever you want. I'll say it right now. Oh, go over to ace-ed.org. And if you'd like to contribute something, we'd love to have you. How's that sound? Our concerns are equity.
Right.
Go over, do it,
thank
and let's
you.
Stay in touch. Okay? Please, I'm quite serious
thank you
about
so
it.
Much.
Okay? Great.
Absolutely.
Stay safe.
Thank you.
Stay safe, ladies in Tennessee and Maryland. Stay safe for this damn pandemic. Okay? We'll talk again soon.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay. Okay, great. Okay, NAESP, everybody, NAESP.org. If you're an elementary school principal or want to be, get involved, okay? Okay, and Kimbrell's the president. Ryan is a fellow, though she's not really a fellow. She's a wonderful lady, okay, at NAESP's Center for Diversity Leadership. We got to talk about that word, fellow. But she's in Chillum, Maryland, at the Chillum Elementary School. Pretty interesting school, actually, built right into an apartment complex. I love that. All right, we'll archive over at ace-ed.org what I said to them. Please go over, check it out. You'll love our magazine. You'll love what we're doing over there. It's all about equity. My name is Larry Jacobs. Pardon my horrible voice today. It's this darn sinus thing, and everybody, stay safe.